Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Hey, good morning, everybody. 909, I am Andy Griffin on KDXU. Here's Steve Dunham is with me as
good
well.
Good morning, Andy.
Hi, Steve. How are you doing, man?
I'm good. How are you? It's a beautiful day, spectacular day.
Yeah, Steve is a font of knowledge. We were just talking about hikes and stuff during the break here, and I don't want to tell anybody about the one you just told me about because I don't want everybody to go with it.
Oh, okay. That's fine. That's
a good one to see waterfalls, I guess.
Oh, yes.
And I love
only in the rain, though. And it's got a rain fairly decent for those to trigger.
It's supposed to rain tonight and tomorrow, so maybe I can talk the wife into going out tomorrow afternoon and checking it out.
It's best if you hike it in the rain, though.
Okay.
It's spectacular. And it's worth it to come back drenched to the car. And then you go get a nice hot cocoa or whatever your favorite warm beverage is.
Yeah. Hot cocoa sounds good right about now.
I know. So. But there's some moody clouds in the sky. It's spectacular.
Yeah, beautiful day, sunshiny day. Again, the clouds supposed to move in tonight, rain tonight and tomorrow morning. I'm not sure how long yet, maybe up till noon or so, but
that'd be great.
A rainy day tomorrow would be good.
That would be great. And what is this? We, you know, all the students get out for fall break and then the rain comes. The biggest rains we've had in how long? How many months has it been? How many years maybe even?
In St. George only got an inch. I say only, but that's significant.
I know.
Considering what we've been through. But I was reading about New Harmony. New Harmony got 5 inches. 5 inches in one day.
That is nuts.
On Friday, this past week.
That's actually scary at that point.
It's a little too much even.
Yeah.
Guy told us that he had a Tesla in his garage, and his garage got flooded, and the Tesla won't start now because everything got shorted out or something.
Oh, yeah. The water damage, like your iPhone.
Yeah. 5 inches of rain in one day. They get 10 a year in New Harmony. They got 5 in one day.
And I saw pictures of Pine Valley from the burn scar, and it was, poor Pine Valley. They've really had the double dinger this year.
I think they had to shut, I think Pine Valley was shut down. The road in and out.
Down for they a couldn't while. Get across.
So, unbelievable. But
I love the rain, but go ahead.
We definitely needed rain.
Yes, we did.
For sure.
We still do.
So it was fall break, right? So was that Thursday, Friday, Monday off?
I think the students, I think Wednesday was a short day, if I recall.
Okay.
And so, yeah, Thursday, Friday, and yesterday off. And now they're back today.
Teacher prepped yesterday, though.
Yes,
right?
That's correct.
So the teachers had to go back, but the kids didn't.
Yeah, but it gives them a chance to get their classroom in order and to kind of get their game plan for the coming couple of weeks. And so that really helps them after a vacation. That way they can enjoy their actual vacation, come back without the students, and get a game plan going for the next couple of weeks.
So we've got, they now need to, are there any holidays coming up before Thanksgiving for school kids?
Well,
I can't think of any.
I can't think of any either. Halloween's always a nightmare for the poor elementary teachers.
Yeah, well, it is on a Friday at least this time.
Oh,
so
well, good.
They don't have to deal with them the next day on the sugar crash.
And that's the worst. It's the worst. It's like, in the middle of the week and you come back and everybody's got just bouncing off the walls and hiding candy and everything. So,
I did want to ask a serious question about that. With Halloween coming up, and we are, 2 weeks and 3 days from Halloween, Are there security risk? I mean, you have, in the elementary schools, you have the parades and people come in costume and stuff like that. Do you have to take any kind of precautions given our unfortunate environment in modern times?
I don't think those are as applicable in Washington County as they might be in other places. We're really good, and there's so many parents there. And I honestly think we're pretty good. You know, we have rules about no wearing masks and things of that nature that, you know, you got to be able to see the kiddos' faces and that kind of stuff. But other than that, each school will send home to the parents the rules for the costumes, what's allowed, what's not, and go from there.
Do they actually have to take the masks away or not let the kids wear them if they show up with the mask?
Yeah, it's pretty clear they can't.
Even just the eye mask or?
It's the face mask. We kind of let the schools decide, but I think the one common ground is masks. Yeah. They're unsafe also when walking. If they're crossing the street, you turn and your vision's obscured with a face mask, and so there's a lot of safety risks that we're taking into consideration. It's not just security, it's safety for the children as they're walking to school or biking to school, whatever it might be.
I guess there is some irony in 5 years ago, we made them wear masks, different kind of masks, but we made them wear masks to school, and now we're like, no, you can't wear masks.
Maybe that can be your costume. You could be the COVID guy and wear them, just a mask.
Walk around with a needle scaring people.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to jab you.
Good gravy.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. We're talking with Steve Dunham from the Washington County School District. 36,000 students?
Yeah, 36,000 is approximate. You know, kids. Wow. Might be a little up, little down, but we're right in there.
Do we have a charter school? How many charter schools do we have in the district?
Well, now, charter schools are run separately from the district, so they're not ours. The one we have that is ours is Utah Online. That is considered a charter, but it is chartered by the school district. So Utah Online is our charter. And I'm trying to think, Success Academy, which is at Utah Tech University, is also kind of ours. We work really closely with them. That's where the students go, and they end up graduating with their associate's degree as well as their diploma. And so we work on both of those. Every other charter school in the valley is completely independently run. They have their own board. They have their own principal. They don't report to the school district. And so, like, that's Vista, George Washington, St. George Academy, Utah Arts Academy, and others.
The national narrative is public school isn't getting it done, and that's why you should homeschool or charter school your kids. But it seems like to me that like a lot of things, Washington County is an exception, not
exactly.
a rule.
Show me the evidence. I mean, I would love to talk to people about that, and I can show them success after success. In fact, one of the things I have here today that I wanted to talk about was how our students are so successful taking CTE classes and how we've increased the graduation rate simply by having students take CTE classes, career and technical education classes. It has really impacted the learning going on here in Washington County.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, we have students taking nearly 16,500 CTE classes here in the county, and the graduation rate for these students is between 97 and 99%. Wow. Now keep in mind, the state graduation rate is 88%. So when we get students to get involved in a pathway that they're excited about, in career and technical education, whatever that might be, we can increase their graduation rate and they're learning skills that are going to be applicable and valuable right upon graduation. They can go right into the workforce and utilize these skills.
Well, one of the things that, and I talked about this a little bit with Brandon in the previous show, is motivation.
Yeah.
And if you got a kid going to school, oh, you got to go to school.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I hate being here. I don't want to. But if you can find something that fires that kid up, that I want to do this, I want to, you know, maybe program, or I want to design a website, whatever it is, graphic design, whatever, that changes everything.
Exactly right. It gets them excited whether they want to go into the workforce or they want to continue their education, whether that's at Utah Tech or Dixie Tech up on the hill. We have so many students that will complete a pathway and realize, hey, I love this. I want to go further this up at Dixie Tech and get the additional certifications so they can really make some money.
Yeah, yeah. I remember, and this isn't exactly a direct example, but for me, high school was kind of, I have to be there.
Yeah.
Right? And why am I taking this class? When am I ever going to, I'm sure that math teachers hear that, when am I going to use this in real life? Whatever. And that's kind of how I was in high school. I went on a mission. I came home, and I knew at that point what I wanted to do in life. I wanted to be a sports writer. I wanted to be a sports broadcaster.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, school was different for me because it wasn't, I have to be here. It was, this is a mean to an end.
Mm-hmm.
This is, I need to do this so I can get where I want to go. And all of a sudden, I was a good student. Not that I was a terrible student in high school, but I was not motivated at all. I did what I had to do to get through, but when I got to college and I saw the rest of my life out in front of me and what I wanted to do with that life, it changed everything. It made it so all of a sudden, okay, I want to go and do well in this class because I know that this is going to help me get where I want to go.
You know, if we can reach learners at their level, not every student loves to, and this is something we've talked about in the past, they don't love to sit in a lecture.
Right.
They like to be either a hands-on learner, or sometimes we have students that don't even like to be in a class. They would prefer to be an online student.
I had a daughter like that.
Some kids really excel, and they can go at their own pace. And that's the goal with public education, is to provide provide opportunities, just like as a parent. We want to provide experiences and opportunities to our children so they can develop who they are and see what they want to become. And in public education, that's what we're trying to do here. We're trying to provide experiences and opportunities and let students learn at a different level, whether it's fast, whether it's slow, whether it's hands-on, whether you like to listen to a lecture and see it written out on a whiteboard. I almost said chockboard, and I thought, oh, yeah, we don't have any chalkboards anywhere anymore.
Old man.
I know, that's right. I am an old man. But that's really what public education is about, is helping every child learn.
I look at my own children. Okay, all five of my kids raised in the same household, same parents, pretty much the same rules, right? My number two and number three sons, a year and a half apart. One of them hated school, was a hands-on guy, wanted to do, and he ended up going to technical school, and guess what? He makes more money than all of us now.
Yeah.
But he was a hands-on guy. My other son was very much an intellectual learner.
Yes.
And he parlayed that into the career that he's in now. Then I go to my two daughters, right? They were in school right when the whole COVID thing hit, and by the way, Washington County handled it better than probably anywhere in the country, but still, they were affected. You know, school was closed for a while, then they had the masking and the online learning. But these two daughters, 2 years apart, same parents, same house, one daughter absolutely could not stand online class. Hated it. She struggled. The other daughter was the opposite. She loved it. In fact, today, she's in college right now. She is one of those that if I can find an online path in this class, I'm going to go to that. I'm going to take that instead of being in a lecture hall or whatever. She chooses that now because she's better at learning that way, while my other daughter absolutely can't stand it. Even to this day, can't stand that type of learning.
And it's all about choices and opportunities.
Yeah.
She has the choice to see what worked for her. And now that she's found that, she's probably being more successful now in her higher education than she would have been had she not found those opportunities. Yeah. That's fantastic. I love hearing those stories.
Yeah. And by the way, all my kids went to public school right here in Washington County, and I feel like they all got great education.
So. You know, we really excel in so many ways. And I've said this many times on the show, we have higher test scores. Most other school districts in the state, there's 41 different school districts in the state, and a lot of times they will look to us and say, what is Washington County doing? We're not the biggest, we're not the fanciest, but we figure out how to make it work for our students. And because we're figuring it out how to make it work, our students are excelling, they're learning, they're graduating at higher rates, everything is at a higher rate, and we do such a good job. Now, when I say we, I really have to give a lot of credit to our teachers. Our teachers are amazing, and they really care about what they do. You cannot buy a home, really, and make a living if you're just a teacher here in Washington County. You have to do other things, and often our teachers
Or if both of you are teachers.
Yeah, or if you're both teaching, sometimes you'll still have a second job or whatever it might be, especially during the summer, but definitely during the school year. And these teachers do it because they love seeing the aha moments when the kids have that time to really, it clicks and it works for them. And that's the success and that's the fun.
If you've never been a teacher, whether it's teaching a church topic or a school topic or whatever it is, I can tell you that when you see, like you said, the aha moment, that light in their eyes when they get what you're trying to teach them, they go, oh, and then it's just this incredible feeling as a teacher. I like to mirror it in my life. I smoke meat when I see. I know this is a stupid example, but
this is a funny example.
When I smoke meat and someone eats it and goes, hey, this is good. That's the same kind of feeling I get.
I just saw a meme of how a husband wraps a gift, and it looks like garbage.
Yeah.
How a husband wraps a smoked turkey leg in bacon, and it's woven so perfectly.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, when it comes to that, we can do it perfectly.
Guilty, yeah.
But wrapping a gift, you can't put scotch tape on a piece of paper and make it look nice.
You're right. You're right. I do a mean bacon-wrapped smoked meatloaf, and it's perfect, of course, but then I wrap a present and it's not.
Hey, I would like to come back to a call to action for our parents.
Let's
do
it.
Really put your children, give them some opportunities in career and technical education. Have them try some different things, especially starting in the 6th and 7th grade when we start offering those courses. Have them try different things.
So give me some examples. Like what?
So it could be woodworking. we don't call it woodworking now. I don't even know what they're called anymore because, you know, back in my day it was so different. But we have opportunities in welding, in the construction trades, in health sciences, in computer and graphics, security, computer security, that type of things. We have so many different opportunities. And we found, this is proven statistics, that as the children will find a pathway they're excited about, they become more successful in the rest of their education because they see how it's applicable and how they can make it work. Just like your daughter with the online. She saw how I can do better. I can learn at my own speed. I don't have to interact and listen to these yahoos that are either being silly in class or asking questions that aren't applicable to her. Right. She can go at her own pace. And that's what career and technical education is about, is reaching children on their level, giving them opportunities to learn. And when they see how their education is important and applicable, they become successful. You know, another statistic I'd like to share is 48% of our students that complete 3 years or more of a career and technical education pathway will go right into the workforce. 38% will go to higher education, and almost 2% go into the military. It gives them an idea of things they want to do. It gives them a clearer vision so they don't have to take a gap year after school. But they already have an idea of, oh, I love this. I want to go into this. So they're narrowing it down where they want to be, and it's kind of accelerating that. I knew when I graduated college, I didn't know what I wanted to do, and I took a gap year, I guess you call it now, and then I took my 2 years to serve my church mission. And by the time I came back, I thought, you know what? Now I at least have some study habits. I'm going to start at the university and see where this goes. I still didn't know. Yeah. I wish I'd taken more CTE classes.
It's one of those things. CTE, we're talking about, they used to say shop and you know, stuff like that. But it gave me, I remember taking those. I took a small engine repair class.
Yeah.
And I actually loved it. That was a lot of fun. And later on, you know, 20 years later, I was able to fix my own lawnmower, you know, something stupid like that. But it gives kids a chance to go, okay, I may not be good at algebra, or maybe, you know, studying Julius Caesar isn't my thing, but guess what? I can weld something, or I can build a beautiful chair, you know, in the wood shop and whatever they call it nowadays.
But you know, the one that helped me was drafting. I took a drafting class.
And see, I didn't like drafting.
But I enjoyed it because I saw how math was applicable. And I hated math. Oh, I struggled in math in high school. But drafting helped me see how I could apply some of the angles, some of these things that I needed to know. And I thought, oh, this is kind of cool. I wish I'd pursued a little further, but I didn't.
So are the people who push to have things like shop taken out of school, I always see these, you know, Mike Rowe is a big believer in shop and that kind of thing. I don't know. I mean, I know there was a push to get rid of some of that stuff, but I never felt like they were that successful, right?
I think it's very short-sighted because, again, what career and technical education does is provides opportunities for every different type of learner, and that's the end goal. We're just trying to help these students learn and see what they can do or see how they learn. No matter what it is, it opens up new doors.
Now, the school district has been real supporters of things like debate and drama and band and things like that. How do those factor into what we're talking about with the future and kids and careers? And I mean, not very many kids are going to be able to major in music and be a band director or even play professionally.
No, but it develops an ability to be in front of people, to engage with others on a different level. I think that's where debate comes in handy too. You learn how to communicate with others. You learn how to have a discussion. You learn how to, that sounds like a small thing, but so many kids get so scared making a phone call now. Because they're used to texting. They don't know how to communicate with others. And debate, band is a great one. They perform. They're out in front of people. You're taking them out of their shell where it's safe to be at home. It's safe to be in front of my TV, whatever it might be. Yet when they're out performing, they recognize, oh, there's a different way to feel this joy, this fulfillment of being out in front of others and sharing what I can do. We all have stuff to share.
And I would add to that, there's a sense of responsibility too when you're in something like that. For instance, say you play the drums and they want you, you've got to play for the ball game, right? You've got to make sure nobody's going to carry those drums out to the ball field for you. You have to go and make sure you have what you need to perform your task. And there's some responsibility involved there too.
You know, fine arts is crucial. And so to think that people might want to cut, whether it's fine arts or career and technical education, you're just cutting opportunities for children. It's kind of like when people say, well, in my day we didn't have this. Well, yeah, but the whole point is we want our kids to be better than in my day. Yeah. I want my kids to be better than in my day. I want them to have additional opportunities. And the fact is that society's a bigger challenge for a lot of people now. And hopefully we can provide them the tools and the resources to be more successful.
Talking with Steve Dunham, Washington County School District. Got to get a commercial break in here. When we come back, I want to get some updates on a couple of programs with the Washington County School District. One of them would be the Guardian program.
Sure.
We'll get an update on where we're at on that. I also wanted to talk about SROs a little bit, too, because we had the guys in charge of the SRO program, St. George Police Department, on a couple of weeks ago. And I learned some insightful and cool things. We'll also get some updates on other goings-on. And maybe I know one of Steve's babies is Sterling Scholar Program. We'll talk a little bit about that, too. So we'll be right back. Let's do weather right now.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
If you have a question for me or Steve Dunham, text me at 435-467-5842. You're always welcome to call, of course, 673-5890, but most people prefer texting nowadays, and that's fine with me, 435-467-5842, and we'll pass your question on to Steve if it's for him.
But it is good to practice your communication skills and talk on the phone.
Talk on the phone.
Although we know the generation that's listening to us doesn't have a problem with that.
So. No, that's true.
That's true. They don't.
We get lots of calls, and you're right. We grew up making phone calls, not texting. In fact, I still, to this day, I'll pick up, hey, I'm just going to call, and my wife's like, why don't you just text him? I'm like, because I guess you're right, I could.
You know, I have asked my dad, I said, Dad, when you pass, I really want the old phone in the basement that has the 20-foot-long cord, and it's the little handset with the rotary dial.
Uh-huh.
Hated dialing the 0 or the 9 on my buddy's number. It took forever.
My granddaughter, we were over seeing the grandkids this past weekend, and she had one of those little play phones with the red red handle, and it has a dial on it. She was fascinated. It was because it would ding ding, you know, it'd go around, and I said, you know, this is how we actually had to make phone calls back in the day.
I know.
So I remember how excited I was the very first cordless, when the cordless phones came out.
You could walk around the house
with it.
You go out in the backyard, sit on the porch, so your parents could hear you talk to your date.
Of course, then they were probably inside on another line listening to you, but that's okay. Talking with Steve today, talking to Washington County School District, an update on the Guardian program. Has it been kind of quiet under the radar, nothing happening?
Exactly how it's supposed to work. Yes, okay. Quiet, unseen. It goes along without interfering with anything else that goes on in the school. It's going perfectly. We have great people that are doing that.
Haven't been any incidents of knuckleheaded 15-year-old boys said, oh, I know who it is, and you know,
No, it's really good. And our guardians are good. And kudos to our Washington County Sheriff's Department. They have done such good training and gone above and beyond what the training that's required. They've done additional trainings to make sure everybody feels comfortable in their role. And we have some additional opportunities coming up with Washington County Sheriffs. They have been phenomenal to work with. And so, you know, we love our first responders here, but our police departments have been great.
I was talking with a guy up in Taylorsville. Is that Jordan School District, perhaps?
Taylorsville is Granite.
Anyway, and they had a hard time filling those Guardian jobs.
I know. A lot of school districts did.
And I say jobs, there's not really, I mean, there's a stipend to help you get a weapon, but other than that, no pay.
No.
And so I think a lot of them are like, why would I do that? You know?
Yes.
But in Washington County, we're like, the reason I do that is because I want to help make sure our kids are safe. I love that.
And I think that speaks to the commitment of our community. I've mentioned it before, the spirit of Dixie. The farmers, when they came down here and settled, they had to work together to make this work, to make it work in this harsh climate. And there's still that mentality down here in our community of people working together to make something work. And I think that is ingrained in everybody down here. And I love that. That's one of the best things. I think that's the best kept secret of Washington County is how people work together, whether it's our law enforcement agencies, whether it's anybody, whether it's our employees here in the school district. They pull together to make it work because, darn it, they care about the students.
Let's talk for a minute about right along those lines, school resource officers.
Oh, the
police officers that are embedded in schools.
And yes.
I'm always fascinated with the idea that part of their job description is to become friends, to integrate with these kids. At the same time, there might be an occasion, you know, where you became really good friends with this kid, where you got to bust them. And that can be easy mentally.
No, it can't be. And that is one of the benefits is those situations are so rare.
Yeah.
And the officers can oftentimes, I mean, they're really well trained. They can spot the kids that might become a problem in the future. And I've heard of incidences where they spend extra time working with those kids so that they know, hey, I'm your friend. Hey, this is what we can do.
Yeah.
And hopefully they can steer them out of another pathway. You know, St. George Police a couple of years ago started the Spear Academy that they do over the summer.
Love that, yeah.
And that is another thing that at first they were worried they were going to get that filled. And after that first year, they were so successful.
Yeah.
They have added all of this resource into the Spear Academy where students are interacting directly with the law enforcement for a couple of weeks out of the summer, and they're learning so much. They're seeing so much about our community, about our first responders, and about how good these people are that are there trying to protect them.
One of the officers said, you know, a lot of times these kids, the only time they ever see a police officer is maybe there's a domestic dispute at their house or something. And he says, so to kind of take them out of that and see them in a positive light, in a positive situation is so, so important.
In a safe environment. Every morning to see the officer greet the students as they walk in, give them a high five, give them the knuckles, whatever it might be. You know, that's really good. And you're right. These officers are trained that they're making a friendship of sorts with the students, a bond with the students, and recognizing that there might be a time that one of those students might become the bad guy and they have to act differently towards that child.
That would be so hard.
That would be hard. And yet our officers are the pros. In fact, St. George Police, I think it was 2 years ago, their SROs were recognized nationally as one of the best school resource officer programs in the nation. They received that recognition, and we couldn't be more proud for them.
And by the way, kudos to, I think Washington City Police Department provides SROs for, is it two or three schools that are in Washington City, too?
That's correct.
So secondary schools.
So every municipality provides the school resource officer for the schools in their community. And so for like Enterprise, we have the Sheriff's Office. For Diamond Valley, the Sheriff's Office. For Hilldale, we have the Marshals, the town Marshals up there.
Okay.
That help out up in Water Canyon.
I didn't realize that. Okay.
Yeah.
So but now, for folks that don't know, most of the secondary schools in Washington County, not all of them, but most of them are in St. George City. That's why St. George Police Department is so involved with it.
Yes.
But not all of them. There are a few, like you said, the Enterprise, and even Washington City provides some for
and Hurricane.
Yeah. And Hurricane as well. So, I love SRO. These guys are amazing. A friend of mine, Travis Brown, was an SRO at Snow Canyon High School for years and years and years. I got to know him because he was the PA announcer for their baseball games.
Yeah.
And you will not find a more enthusiastic PA announcer, by the way, than Travis.
And you know, we've had SROs that have also been wrestling coaches for us.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
And these SROs are some big fellas. I mean, we got a couple of them that they walk in and the kids go, oh my, yes, sir.
don't want to get that guy mad.
No.
So the school district at this point feels pretty good about the Guardian program. Feels like it's done exactly what it's supposed to do at this point.
Well, it's doing, and you don't really. It's kind of an insurance policy.
Mm-hmm.
You hope you don't need it, and if it does, you hope it works appropriately and everything plays out. But yeah, that's really what it comes down to, you know. And it's a law. We're following the law, and so I think we're okay. I think we're going to be good. And like I say, I feel comfortable and confident in those that have signed up. I feel confident in the training both given and received, and the resources they're providing to those guardians.
I think it's important that you mention the training part of it because I think a lot of people perceive, oh, just a guy with a gun's going to go hang out at the school.
Exactly.
No, that's not how it works.
No.
Number one, they vet them. They make sure big-time background checks on all these guys. And then number two, they train them.
Yes.
And it's not, hey, here's a gun, there's a trigger there. No, this is actual, like, real live training. It's pretty cool.
And after the training, they have sit-down situations to go over, hey, what was hard? What did you feel? What were the emotions you dealt with going through that training? They break that down. They also have mental resources available for all of the guardians. They go through additional screenings for their mental capacity and their ability to deal with stressful scenarios.
Very cool. Very cool. All right. Let me get another break in, and then Steve wanted to talk about a program that is pretty darn cool, folks. It's making things happen that maybe never would have happened otherwise.
Yes.
We'll talk about that when we come back right after this.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk leader.
All right, I'm going to mention it again. I am retiring. We don't know. The original day was October 31st, Halloween, but I'm going to need to hang around and train the new guy, Steve. So
yeah.
I may be around for a while. But
good.
I would surmise that this might be our last time together on the radio.
Which is a bummer because we have a lot of fun.
We do. We do. In fact, I still have yet to pin you down. Best rock and roll song of all time.
Oh.
I know. See, every time I ask you, you're like, well, there's like seven of them, maybe 12.
There is like seven, and sometimes it's remakes.
Yeah.
But one of my all-time favorites, honestly, is Gypsy Road by Cinderella.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice.
That is one that I can always listen to at max volume and just enjoy through and through. There's no bad to that.
For me, so when I was in high school, if you listen to Metallica or Axe or some of those really hardcore bands, you were like over the top too much, right?
Yeah.
And so I actually didn't listen to those guys back then. I've gone back now and my throughout the years, you know, I worked at classic rock stations and stuff, and I found that some of the stuff is really good.
Yeah.
Enter Sandman to me, one of the great rock and roll songs.
I do appreciate Metallica more now than I did as a high schooler.
And Unforgiven 2, one of my favorites, and 1, about a guy who's wounded in Vietnam and can't communicate. He's alive in his head, but he can't communicate to those outside because his mouth doesn't work. His brain is pretty incredible stuff.
You know, and the other guilty pleasure song I love at full volume, this is probably one as a educator I shouldn't divulge.
Don't tell anybody.
But it's Motley Crue, Dr. Feelgood.
Oh.
Dr. Feelgood has a beat that is, so enthralling, and that can just go full volume, and I pull up, and I'm driving down the road, windows down, enjoying it, and then I stop at a red light, and everybody looks at me, and
what
I'm like,
doing,
we're going to be going in a minute anyway. You're fine. So.
Yeah, I never did. You and I are old enough that the hip-hop rap stuff kind of lost on us. We've never really figured out that.
Although the Beastie Boys I liked, but the Beastie Boys came along before, and it was so unique.
And it was a little different. And, of course, they had to Run DMC. They did the Walk This Way with Aerosmith, where they crashed the wall.
I hadn't heard of them until they did the thing with Aerosmith.
Yeah,
so.
Same here. Yeah, same here.
So I knew nothing about them. But
I have we talked about this before we went on the air. I have a little bit of a softer side to me. I like the Lionel Richie. I like the Kenny Rogers. I like the soft rock and it's funny because back in the day, you remember this, you could not coexist. Soft rock and hard rock, they were enemies. They didn't like each other.
Yep.
You couldn't like both back in the day.
But in the 90s, I worked for Kissin' 97, the soft hits of the 70s, 80s, and now we're Kissin' 97.
I remember Kissin'. You know what I remember about Kissin'?
What?
There was a song by Olivia Newton-John called Let's Get Physical.
Oh.
They banned it. They would not play Let's Get Physical.
Oh, see, that was before my time.
This would have been, what, probably 80s.
80s, yeah.
And they wouldn't play Let's Get Physical because it was too suggestive.
Yeah.
Of course, now you got the rappers talking about, well, I don't want to go there. So, all right. We got music is a good topic, right?
Because it is a fantastic topic.
musical to talk about.
So listening to your station, you'll hear me do a commercial about a program that's at mm-hmm. Snow Canyon Middle School, and it is the second program of this kind in the state. It's called United Sound.
Okay, that's a cool name right there, United Sound.
What we're doing is we're pairing special needs life skills students mm-hmm. with traditional students in a music setting, and they're learning how to play instruments. They're literally learning how to play instruments. And I had the opportunity to see, I'm going to get choked up here as I tell the story. The opportunity to see this.
It wouldn't be you if you didn't.
I know. Yeah. A week and a half ago, I saw this. And we had a parent write in just talking about how they have never seen their child who is nonverbal, doesn't like people around, open up like they did when they were in this class. And it's because the students are interacting with them. They're teaching them how to keep the beat and how to play the instruments and all of these things. And these life skills kids are suddenly, they've become part of the school. Hmm. They're no longer invisible to the kids around them. And, I'm sorry, but this is one of the coolest programs
that's cool
I have seen in a long time. And it does cost. It costs $35 per child. And the school is funding this itself. And they're hoping to be able to raise funds so that they can continue this program because they don't have the money. They're kind of robbing Peter to pay Paul on this. Yeah. And so they are looking to raise funds for this. And I would encourage any of you, if you're interested, if my short moment here talking about how we're taking these special needs kids and integrating them into the school through music, if you feel like this could be something you could help out with, you can reach out to the School District Foundation. You can ask for me specifically, or you can donate online, and you go to the general donation form, and it's a PayPal. It's through PayPal. You can use your credit card, anything. You can give what you can. Again, it costs $35 per child, and with the number of students we have in there, the cost this year is about a little over $1,800. And so, but it's really transforming lives, and if you'd like to help out, you can give me a call at the radio station, or not the radio station, the school district, and we can set up, and you can donate, and it would make a big difference for this school. Again, it's the second one in the state. Other districts are looking at it. Again, they're looking to Washington County going, wow, you're doing this? This is cool. And so there's a couple other districts up north that are looking at doing this. But it is really making a big impact on these students.
Can you describe a little more of the X's and O's of it? Is this an after-school program?
No.
Is this an in-class program?
It's an in-class
program.
And
how do you get them all together? So say, hey, I want to do this, and you take a kid that...
Yeah, there's a curriculum that Mrs. Winslow, Haley Winslow, is our music teacher there at Snow Canyon Middle School.
Is that Michael's...
It is Michael's wife.
Wife, okay.
And right. So she saw
I know
this.
Michael.
Yeah, she saw this in a professional development she went to. Really wanted to implement it at her school and got the funds from the principal to start up, which was last year. It was the first year they'd done it, and already the difference in some of these kids. These nonverbal kids are engaging more. They're interacting more, and the regular ed students that are paired with them suddenly see new friends that they haven't seen before. I heard them talk 2 weeks ago on the news and say, well, I really hadn't noticed them before, and now I can sit with them at lunch, and now I can do this. We've taken this group of students that have been invisible in the past, but it's during class. They bring the special ed students down, and the regular ed students, they're already grouped off. They know the student they're working with. They've formed a relationship with those students. Mm. We have a student who's learned how to play the trumpet. We have a student who's learned how, I think there was a woodwind in there as well. There were violins, and wow, this cute little student that can keep a beat, this special needs student that can keep a beat on the drum. And he was, this is a nonverbal kid. It's impactful to watch.
Pretty amazing stuff.
I'm sorry for crying on the radio. Oh, you guys are driving down the street going, who's this Yahoo crying on the radio, for heck's sakes?
Talk about the Cinderella, and then he's crying.
I know. Hard rock, metalhead, and I'm crying over this.
United Sound, though, it's really cool. But you mentioned that sometimes these special needs students are invisible. The other word I would say, sometimes they're stigmatized, too, right?
Yes.
Like people, I don't want to be around them because they talk funny or they walk funny. funny, or they're whatever
different.
It is.
And so yeah. you're nervous interacting with somebody yeah. different.
And it humanizes them.
Yes, exactly right. It humanizes them. It makes the regular ed students recognize, hey, these are my friends. Hey, they just want to have an opportunity here at school as well. And we are just seeing great things come out of this program, United Sound. I give kudos to Mrs. Winslow and what she's doing there with those students at Snow Canyon Middle School.
Very cool. And again, we'll endorse the arts, the programs in schools that everyone's like, what good does band or choir or whatever do you down the road? Well, I'm here to tell you, you may never sing again. You may never play the saxophone. I haven't really played saxophone in 20 years.
Yeah.
But I was a big sax guy back in the day. But it impacted my life in ways that I didn't see. It changed the course of my life in a lot of ways.
You know, I'm thinking with Andy retiring, maybe he could come to volunteer at United Sound at Snow there Canyon Middle School
yeah.
and give a little resources with the saxophone there.
Well, like I'd have to learn how to play again on the saxophone.
You know what? You'd be learning, and these students, it wouldn't matter. But back to what you were saying about the arts. These students hear music, and it touches them on a deeper level. These life skills students, it opens them up. It has been so tremendously impactful.
I can't emphasize that enough. Everybody knows that listen to the show. I'm big time into music. I know that, for instance, Alzheimer's patients later in life, yeah. music can touch them in ways that. The therapist, the professionals didn't think they could be touched that way anymore.
It connects the synapses in our brain in yeah. different ways and different levels, yes.
Yeah, so, and it's, I mean, it's the same way, even if you didn't play an instrument back in the day, maybe you heard a song that will take you back in time. I know you and I still do that. We hear a song, we're like, oh, I remember. yeah, I stupid thing, a song, Missing You by John Waite, you know that song I'm talking
yeah.
about? My buddy his girlfriend broke up with him, and I remember I was sitting in the car waiting for him. He came out to the car, 18-year-old boy, crying like a little kid, and that song, Missing You, John Waite, came on the radio, and I just remember putting my arm around my buddy and comforting him while John Waite played, and it was, I mean, for whatever reason, I hear that song, it takes me back to 1983. You know what I mean?
Oh, exactly. Yeah. The music can form a memory and solidify it in our heads. There is a road driving into Moab that every single time I will stop and put on John Denver, Take Me Home Country Roads,
nice,
because
nice.
In high school that connected with me.
Yeah. Not in West Virginia, but in Moab. Right?
In Moab.
Well, Steve, we've used it up. Again, it's been a pleasure working with you over the years.
Likewise, Andy.
And you've always been very... very gregarious. Like, you come on the air and we just have a nice time and we talk about things, and I haven't cried on the air like you have. But,
yeah, well, that's how it goes for
maybe
me.
Maybe I will.
A couple of metalheads connecting over the radio. Look at us.
Yeah, with Andy Griffith playing in the background. So thank you, Steve, for everything you've done. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Andy.
We're out of time, folks. Thanks for listening today. I have a little medical thing tomorrow. I'll be back on Thursday with Mayor Nanette Billings. It'll be a lot of fun. We'll talk to you then.